More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Relationship SOS. Are you in a difficult relationship with someone you care about? Well, no matter who it is, let us help set a course toward healing with grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Relationship SOS. We all have that one person, at least.
I was going to say one?
Yeah, right. But at least that, you know, we do care about, but they're just hard to be around for some reason. And sometimes that can be a really close relationship, like your marriage or your kid. Other times it could be a parent or a friend or other family member. But we all have somebody that for some reason, you know, we do really care about them and like at least the idea of being in relationship with them.
Well, and there are also
but the reality
people,
maybe is lacking.
Yeah, very much. But there are also the people we don't really care about, but we have to be around, like our colleagues or people in the church choir next to us that just sing a little bit off and are really, really obnoxious to be around.
She's speaking to me.
Let's be honest. There are people we have to be around. For the neighborhood we live in, the school our kids go to, the committees we're on, the workplace we're in, the people our siblings married, whoever those things are, or those people are, those things that annoy us or get in the way of our relationship with them matters almost as much, if not equally as much, as when we're not getting along with the people we love the most, or somebody we love the most has really got a trying personality or trait that's driving us a little crazy.
So whoever that is, let us help you manage those difficult relationships on our show today titled Relationship SOS. Call up 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And so, tell us, is there somebody in your life who you really care about but just dread being around? Maybe, as I said, it's your spouse or parent, a sibling, a friend, somebody who leaves you feeling drained or second-guessing yourself? Do you find yourself walking on eggshells, you know, constantly trying to keep the peace but never feeling like it's enough? Maybe you've tried to bring up how you feel, but it doesn't go well. It either turns into a fight or they get defensive or, you know, you just give up and start pulling away. Maybe you struggle to know when you just need to be patient, right? And bear that wrong patiently. Or if it's time to set a boundary. If you feel guilty standing up for yourself, like somehow being a good Christian means you should just take it. You know, we're talking about all this today, and we want to help you manage those difficult relationships and set you free to do what's necessary to make those relationships healthier and holier. 877-573-7825. Again, the number 877-573-7825.
And if you're sitting there thinking, nope, don't want to. Just Popchak, just leave me alone. I don't want to think about him. I don't want to deal with it until I have to see him at whatever family event or whatever committee meeting. I don't want to think about it. The week's been long enough. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. Because if you do the work ahead of time, if you get the plan in your head, in your heart, kind of set for yourself, A, you're not going to be stewing about it till the next time you see them in the back of your mind, wasting all your energy. B, you're going to go in with more grace and more confidence and more skills to be able to not feel this way.
Yeah, that's a really important point, because I think all of us have the temptation to say, okay, I survived that encounter with that person. Now I don't want to think about it again until I see them.
Right.
And the problem with that is we're setting ourselves up for failure every time. You know, if we don't use the time in between to make a plan for how we're going to handle it differently the next time, then we're just sort of doomed to keep repeating the same thing over and over again, because you will find yourself in that situation, and no matter how many times that person does that thing or that dynamic happens, we are constantly surprised by the same darn thing happening over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if we recognize that, there's at least 90% chance that this obnoxious thing is going to happen again, or I'm going to feel the same way the next time I see them as I did this time, I can use that as a resource, because I can say, I can plan on this. It's like if I know it's going to rain tomorrow, I can wear a raincoat.
Right. Well, exactly. And you can't just say, well, I'm going to will away the rain.
Exactly. Or pretend it's not raining.
Or I'm just going to stay home because it's raining and I don't want to deal with it. And then, I'll get fired from my job for not showing up every day it rains. Things in my life will get broken because I'm not doing what I can to defend myself from getting all wet. And so even if you don't really feel like thinking about it or dealing with it, give us a call today. Let's help you feel stronger, more empowered, and more grace-filled in any and all of those relationships that are driving you a little crazy. 877-573-7825. That is 877-573-7825.
Of course, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might reasonably wonder, how could some theology help you deal with difficult relationships? Well, it turns out it has a lot to say about them, because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. He basically said, if we take everything God's given us, creation, salvation, history, scripture, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living an abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now refer to as the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that every person we're in relationship with, even the ones that drive us crazy, is made in God's image and deserves to be treated with love. But loving someone doesn't mean ignoring offenses or just being nice all the time and letting them get away with stuff. It means making sure that everything we do or say represents our attempt to be our best self, invites the other person to be their best self, and moves the relationship to a healthier and holier place.
Right, and I think that's a really important insight for Christians to have, that our responsibility is really to do what we can to move those relationships to a healthier, holier place. And when things aren't going well in a relationship, the enemy kind of whispers in our spiritual ear that the only options are to either stuff our feelings and take it, or blow everything up and cut the person off. And of course, giving into either temptation kind of often causes more pain than peace.
That's an interesting point. And I think if anybody looks back at that in their lives, they can see that that happens. So what do we do instead? We need to start by asking God to help us know what a healthier relationship would look like, and then make a reasonable effort to try to get it there, either by finding solutions to the problems we're having or setting boundaries to prevent those problems.
And, if the other person continues to behave in ways that are hurtful or offensive even after you've tried to take these steps, sure, you might ultimately need to end the relationship. But in most cases, that's not the first place we go. It's best to start with maybe limiting how much time we spend with them, or what topics we discuss with them, or what kinds of activities we allow ourselves to do with them, at least until that person is willing to address the problems that stop us from being able to have the kind of relationship, the life-giving relationship, that God desires for all of his children. So the point is that it's our job as Christians to work to make every relationship that we're in as healthy and holy as we reasonably can, because that is how we build the kingdom of God. We throw that phrase around a lot, But we don't really define it. And St. John Paul in the Theology of the Body basically says that building the kingdom of God is working to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships. And that by using that mutually self-giving love that comes from the heart of God as the basis for all of our relationships, we facilitate the healing that God wants for his kingdom. All right, so let's talk about the difficult relationships in your life. Is there somebody you really care about, but you kind of dread seeing or being around? You know, they just get your hackles up, right? It could be your spouse, parent, sibling, friend, who just always leaves you feeling a little drained or second-guessing yourself.
You know, think about the things that are coming up in your life. Is there a college student who will be coming home and you're thinking, I don't want to think about it? Well, just that reaction says there are things that have to be worked out. Are there weddings or first communions or family events that are going to come up and you're going to see some of those people that you know you're going to be rolling your eyes the whole time you're driving there and kind of clenching your fist while you're there to get through it? Think ahead of what's going to go on. And who are those people where you're just going, oh, really? They're going to be there? Or I have to see them this weekend? Let's help you get rid of that reaction and get into a place of peace and empowerment and grace. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those people we do care about, but have challenging relationships with, and also those people that we don't necessarily care about, but we have to deal with and are still complicated. In all of those situations, Lord, help us to remember that the goal is not to just bear it, but to be our best selves, to do what we reasonably can to invite the other person to be their best selves, and ultimately to work to make those relationships healthier and holier. Help us to remember that that is what it means to build your kingdom, to cooperate with your grace and do the work that needs to be done to heal the damage that sin does to all of our relationships, and to be those instruments of grace and healing by using your model, the model of love that flows from your heart, as our pattern to build all of the relationships in our life. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name
of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Relationship SOS. Are you in a difficult relationship with either someone you care about, or at least someone you got to deal with on a regular basis? No matter who it is, we want to help you set a course toward healing with some grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825. The big nugget to take away as we start, though, is remember, it's not the Christian's job to just suck it up. It's the Christian's job to redo what we reasonably can to make these relationships healthier and holier. Let us help you do that today. Lisa, who's on deck?
We're talking now with Daryl, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hey, Daryl, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you, sir?
Thank you. Good morning to both of you. So, you know, it resonates what you're talking about today. I have an adult son who's 47. And I'll give you a little backdrop on this. He was born out of wedlock, lived in California for 20-something years. He's been here for 20 years.
And let me just check with this, Daryl. Were you part of his life during those 20 years that he was out in California?
I tried to be. Yeah, okay. I was definitely made an attempt. So, you know, on and off, as much as they would let me be, but it was really out of my control. So, so I tried to do what I was supposed to do, but. You know, the girl left, her family left and never came back, and et cetera. So when he did come back, I'm just, you know, I paid probably, you know, thousands of dollars for him to try to get him jobs and cars and apartments and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I'm always made to feel guilty. Like, everything's my fault because he's not working, he's not this, he's not that. It's all, everything is my fault. And so I've tried. I think I've tried to make up for that monetarily. You know, I've wanted. Yeah. Obviously, yes, I've had a relationship with him for 20 years, but it's almost like he's an emotional vampire. Whenever I'm around him, it's always he wants something. So I need money. I need car. I need this. I need that. And it's, mm-hmm. I've tried to help him. So it's kind of hard for me to. It's just tough.
So the question is kind of how to set some boundaries around this. Like what is it? What would it mean to be compassionate, but at the same time, not be sucked dry? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Exactly. Yes, because it's very tough. So I've been married for 38 years. I've got other children. Mm-hmm. And it causes problems with my wife. It causes problems with my other children.
Of course.
And it's
okay. So let's look at this. And I'm going to jump in just for the sake of time because we've got about 4 minutes before break, and I want to make sure I'm giving you some good things to take. So there's a principle in Catholic social teaching called subsidiarity, and basically it means that we have to make sure that we are always being generous and working hard to help other people, but we have to be careful not to work harder than they are on their own problems, because as soon as we do that, we start enabling them, and they stop trying to help themselves. You know, so it's not that we just let people go do their own thing and, you know, pull themselves up by their bootstraps. It's we want to be there and ready to help, but we kind of have to take our cue from them. Right. So because if we don't do that, then what tends to happen is they do exactly what your son's doing. They start to suck us dry because they see us as it's our job to fix their problem. And unfortunately, we can't sometimes do enough to fix their problem. Right. Because it's their problem. And the more we try, the worse the situation actually gets. So what you want to be able to do in these situations is, and I'll give you the kind of the practical thing first, and then we'll talk about sort of the emotional piece of this. The practical part of it is saying, when your son says, hey, I need this, then your response needs to be, I agree. What do you think your plan is for making that happen?
That'll shock the nonsense out of him. His mouth will just drop open, and he might fluster. He might even try to fight back with you, and you need to keep bringing him back to that idea.
And if he says, well, I don't know, I can't possibly do it. It's like, well, I need you to come up with something. You know, you're 47 years old. I need you to be able to have a plan for how you're going to make this happen. And then, Daryl, you can, once he has that plan, you can say, well, I'm willing to help you take the next step in that plan, right? So if part of his plan is, I don't know, let's just for the sake of argument, I got to pull a resume together. Well, I'll help you. I'll help you get your. I'm not going to do it for you, but if you want my help putting a resume together, I'll sit with you and I'll go over it after you write it. You know, if part of his plan is getting counseling, but he doesn't have a car, I can help you get to your appointment. You know, I mean, these are just examples. I'm not saying you do these things, but it's he comes up with the plan to make the thing happen, and you can support the piece that he can't do to make that plan happen, but you can't solve the problem for him, because that absolves him of his responsibility for taking care of himself, right? So that you're still being generous. You know, he's going to act like you're not. You're still being generous and being helpful, but you're taking point from him. You know, you're waiting for him to say, well, I really, okay, I this is what I'm trying to do, and I'm making a consistent effort to do it, but I'm just falling this much short. Can you help me with that? You know, and that's not usually, giving him money or whatever. It's usually providing some kind of practical support that enables him to close the gap between his effort, his active effort, and the result that he's looking for. But this is really coming from him, and you're providing support, not the solution. Now, you're going to feel, he's clearly playing on some guilt from old wounds in the relationship or some vulnerabilities that you have. If you find that, this is resonating for you, you think, yeah, okay, that sounds great on paper, but I'm having a hard time getting my heart behind that, then that might be an opportunity to do some healing in your own self. And if you would like to have somebody kind of walk you through that, then we can certainly help you through CatholicCounselors.com, where, we can help you continue to be charitable and compassionate and generous, but in ways that are actually helpful. And that sometimes that takes a little bit more back and forth. than we have time for on the air. So if you'd like to learn more about that, you can go to CatholicCounselors.com. But this is the basic direction, by the way. And we also talk about this more in our book, Lisa, in my book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. That's the title. Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's really about how do we build a healthy relationship with adult kids. And there's a section in there that talks about accompaniment. You know, what accompaniment is and how it's different from, say, enabling. You know, or codependency. It's how do we walk along an adult child who's having difficulties without making them so dependent on us that they don't grow up, right? And so it really talks you through that step-by-step if you're interested in more information there. So that's Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. That's available at CatholicCounselors.com, as well as more information about our pastoral telecounseling practice. Daryl, I hope that these suggestions will get you started. If there's more that we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out where you can get those other resources. And please don't hesitate to call us back here on the show either. All right, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking with you about Relationship SOS. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She's going to be talking about how to get past the disappointment we sometimes feel with adult kids and see the person that they are. That and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Announcing again our popular St. Paul Mediterranean cruise and pilgrimage, visiting over 10 biblical sites. You'll never read the New Testament the same again after exploring Athens, Ephesus, Corinth, Thessalonica, Philippi, Crete, and the Greek Isles, and much more. Mass at Mary's House, our luxurious celebrity cruise liner, awaits you.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Join Catholics at the Shore 2026, May 7th through the 9th, at the beautiful Icona in Avalon, New Jersey. This year's theme, Needing Nothing More, invites you to step away from the noise and encounter Christ. Speakers include Patricia Heaton, UFC champion Boss Rutten, and pro-life activist Christian Hawkins, along with other powerful Catholic voices. To learn more, go to CatholicsAtTheShore.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today's show is Relationship SOS. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is a developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks, Lisa.
Oh, thanks for joining us. And, you know, Rachel, you wanted to talk about how when we have a discussion to resolve a problem with a loved one, a spouse, our kids, often it's not enough to just say, all right, we solved this, we're done, end of story. What are you suggesting that we do to follow up when to make sure that everybody's in a good place and we're all on the same plan?
Well, without wanting to restart the argument by any means, or restart the fire, as it were, we do need to say to each other, how are we doing? You know, to go and to lead off with that saying, give each other permission to check in with each other, to say, you know, we had that difficulty like last week or last month, and I want to make sure that we're still doing okay. Are there any unanswered questions? You know, did everything get said that you need to have said to you to help the relation get stronger and better?
And maybe if there's been enough time that goes by, saying, am I holding to what we're doing? Are we still working the plan that we came up with? Because sometimes we come to a resolve, don't we, where we think we've both heard the same thing and that we're working the same plan, but maybe we missed something in the heat of the moment. So this follow-up, should we even say to each other, hey, let's make sure we follow up on this?
Yes.
What do you think of that idea?
I think that rule should be in a marriage and certainly within a family, especially, like Greg said, with older kids, when you have young adults in your life, because they can, in the heat of the moment, like you said, forget something that was important to them, that we just want to kind of get done with it and say, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah, I forgive you, you know, dust our hands and never talk about it again when we do need to. Because sometimes those second apologies or third apologies are the most tender and the most meaningful. When you're calm and you're sitting next to each other going, I really am sorry that we had that fight. That was kind of ugly. And those are those moments where you can say yes, and we love each other, and we made resolutions, and we can see the progress we're making.
I think that's so helpful, and it's something most of us never think about because we're terrified of, as you said, restarting the fire. So giving each other permission to revisit it so we know that we're invested in taking care of each other, and then making that a commitment and going back and checking in and saying, what do you need from me? Is everything going okay? Is there anything we missed? Is really important to take the emotional temperature down and really help take care of each other so it doesn't happen all the time. I think that's really brilliant. Any other points of what to do to make sure that you're both in the same place?
Well, like you said, Lisa, is that when you build this as a practice in your family, it's amazing how it does help prevent those same arguments from happening again and again and again. Mm. Because you really didn't solve the problem. If you're having an argument about one subject more than, you know, maybe two or three times, it hasn't been solved. You haven't had a resolution. You're not on the same page. But by checking in with each other and reassuring each other, you really can find the solution that works.
Rachel, great insights. Thanks so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about Rachel Watkins' good work, you can go to beholdpublications.com to learn about the Little Flowers Girls Club. That's beholdpublications.com. We're taking your calls right now on our show titled Relationship SOS. Are you in a difficult relationship with someone you care about? No matter who it is, let us help set a course toward healing. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I told him about the woman who came to me and said her 2 children hadn't spoken to each other for 2 years. Their grandma died and she was very wealthy. She left half to each one. She said they're arguing over a commode. She said inlaid. Can you imagine being in hell and somebody saying to you, what are you here for?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Raising kids is hard. We all do our best, and we all fear that we failed in some way. Especially when our relationship with our adult kids isn't what we wish it was, it's easy to give in to self-recrimination. Blame, especially self-blame, accomplishes nothing except fostering the feeling that we're stuck and powerless. Rather than ruminating about past mistakes, put your energy in what needs to happen to make your relationship stronger today. Look for opportunities to create a stronger connection with your adult kids. Seek out ways to build trust. Take the initiative. Of course, you need to respect your adult children's boundaries, but let them know that you have no intention of giving up on them, and that you're willing to have whatever relationship they're willing to build with you. Start from that point and build from there. Want more tips for strengthening your relationship with your adult kids? Check out our book, Having Meaningful and Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Relationship SOS. Are you in a difficult relationship with somebody? No matter who it is, we want to help you set a course toward healing with grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825. Before we take our next call, I want to send out a message that one of our great EWTN radio partners needs to hear from you next week. Mater Dei Radio, with three stations serving Eugene, Portland, Vancouver, and Salem, Oregon, kicks off their spring share-a-thon on Monday. Their theme this year is Live the Peace of Christ. So please support Mater Dei Radio, and wherever you're tuning in, make sure you're supporting your local Catholic radio station. Let's keep EWTN going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and your loved ones in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. Thanks for making EWTN Radio possible by contributing and keeping us in your prayers. With that, we're going back to the calls on our show titled Relationship SOS.
Let's talk now with Jeanette, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio on Sirius XM 130.
Hey, Jeanette, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am struggling with the relationship with my adult daughter. And I love my daughter very much, but she doesn't understand me. And I suffer with grief of my husband and the loss of another adult daughter. We had a disagreement in January, and we've talked slightly, but I haven't seen her since then.
So, what's her issue with you, Jeanette? What is it that she's upset with you about exactly?
Well, she wants to go to therapy together.
Okay.
And she doesn't think I'm a happy person. Well, I'm and dealing with a lot.
Yes, you are, and that's part of what therapy is really for. So what I'm hearing is you don't want to go. You're kind of taking it as you're being pushed too hard or that she's offending you somehow. And yet, the way you explain it, so please fill in what I'm missing here. The way you explain it sounds like your daughter wants a good relationship with you. She's worried about your level of grief and that you're not happy, and she's concerned for your emotional well-being. So what's stopping you, Jeanette, from saying, I want this connection with my daughter. I've lost a daughter. I've lost a husband. I want this connection. And so, yes, I'll go into this with her because she cares about me enough to ask me to go. What's stopping you?
I think what's stopping me is the fact that she may she may belittle me during these sessions.
Belittle you how? What do you mean by that?
Like, put me down.
Well, I mean, I know what belittle means.
Does she do that to you? Real day-to-day conversations with you? Why is that your concern?
Well, we used to talk every day. But since this incident that happened, she kind of cut me out of her life.
The incident when she asked you to do it a therapy and you said no, you mean that incident or something else?
Yeah.
So Jeanette, here's the thing. I I appreciate the pain that you're in. I really do.
So much we appreciate the pain.
But here's
that you're in.
Grief is awful. And here's something I want you to really pray about. Okay. Grief is the process of finding healthy ways to stay connected to the person or persons that we've lost. Sometimes, as we're grieving, we actually want to hold on to the pain because that makes us feel like they're still alive.
Yeah, that we're connected to them in some way. And we're afraid that we get skills that help us make more solid relationships with the people that are still with us, because we're terrified of losing them because we've lost somebody or some other people. That if we move on at all and get skills to be able to enjoy the life that we have left, that somehow we're dishonoring them, or somehow people will forget they existed, or a myriad of other things.
Or if I heal the pain that I'm feeling, that I will forget them, or I will lose them, or I won't feel their presence in my life anymore. And that's actually not true. There are ways to stay connected to the people that we've lost that are healthy and life-affirming. And I think that your daughter, without necessarily using those words, and maybe she's not coming off the best way, but I think that's what your daughter's trying to get at, that she sees her mom losing herself in her pain, and she's losing her mom to the pain, and she's asking if you would be willing to work with her on that. And what you've just said to her is not just no to therapy, it's no, I don't want a relationship with you. I love my pain more than I love you. And that's why she's cut you out, because that's a terrible message for a daughter to hear from a mother. I know that's not what you meant to say, but that, in fact, is what you said when you refused her invitation to work on the relationship and counseling. And the whole thing about you're afraid she's going to belittle you, you know, people have to be honest with each other, and sometimes when we say things that are hurtful or whatever, but that's what therapy is about, working through those things so that we can communicate more effectively with each other. You just avoiding the whole thing because you're afraid she might say something that's hurtful or might challenge you to let go of some of that pain, again, says, I love my own comfort and I love my own pain more than I love you. I want to hold on to my comfort and my pain more than I want to hold on or work on a relationship with you. Again, that is not what you're intending to say, but that, in fact, is what you're saying. And that's why she's responding to you the way she is.
And I want to say this, Jeanette. You lost your husband and a child. And the agony of that is profound. But your daughter lost her sister and her daddy. And what she has in this world is her mom. And she wants her mom. She needs to know she's safe. She needs to know she's loved by her mom. She needs to know that the two of you can go on together and have a life together, even though you're both in your own individual agony over the people you lost. And you are shutting down from God's grace to heal, God's grace to build your relationship with your remaining daughter. Please call her back and say, this is scary for me. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it because I love you.
And Jeanette, again, I just want to reassure that part of you that's afraid of letting go of the pain, that letting go of the pain does not mean letting go of the people that you love. There is a healthy way to stay connected to your husband, a healthy way to stay connected to the daughter that passed. And that's what the counselor will help you find. We want to help you get past the idea that the only way I can still feel that they're alive to me is by holding on to the misery and the hurt. Because that is a very tempting choice in the face of grief and loss. But don't push your daughter away by allowing yourself to be sucked into this sort of black hole of grief. Work with her because you love her and because God has healing for you. Not a healing that has you let go of the people that you love, but a healing that helps you find healthy ways to stay connected to them. If there's more that we can do to support you and your daughter, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But if she has somebody in mind, work with them, right? But do work. Do that work. Reach out to your daughter today, like Lisa said, and tell her that as scary as this is, as much as you might not want to do it, or as much as you have reservations, you're willing to do it because you love her, and you want that relationship with her. Thanks for the call, Jeanette. Yeah, I mean, and look, I get it. It's extraordinarily painful to lose somebody and to lose two people that are that close to you. It's a horrific, catastrophic, traumatic loss. And it's very, very tempting to want to just hold on to that pain as a way, if I can still feel awful, then I still feel them. I mean, it sounds crazy, but it's true. And it's very tempting to be in that place. I would rather feel awful than not feel anything. And if I let go of the pain, then I will lose them forever. But there are healthy ways to stay connected to the people that we've lost, and grief is the process of finding that. And too often when we hold on to that pain because we're afraid if we let go of the pain, we'll let go of them entirely, we lose all the other people in our life that are still there loving us. And it's important to remember how to live.
And I just want to say, when we are grieving, when we deal with the kind of shock that comes with that loss, and then we're grieving, we often feel like a little child ourselves. You know, how am I going to go on without these people? How am I even going to, get up in the morning kind of thing? But when we have a child, even an adult child, who is experiencing that loss as well, think how much younger and smaller and more vulnerable she also feels. You guys need each other in this moment, not to just, continue to dredge up all the pain, but to walk toward healing together for each of you individually and for your relationship. And we can't let our fears of being belittled or whatever our fears are in that moment stop us, because that's Satan. Satan's saying, sit here far away from God's grace in your agony, in the pain of death. And Jesus is saying, I have victory over death. I have more life to give you and your daughter together so that you can flourish even though you're missing these people, and so that you can both work toward being in the communion of saints with these people again and with God himself. And we don't want to just pull into ourselves, pull into our turtle shells, and push away God's grace and the people that love us and that he's given us to love.
All right, Jeanette, thank you again for the call. If there's more we can do for you, you know where to find us. And also look at CatholicCounselors.com for additional resources. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 6, verse 1.
Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness.
So this verse is really a mission statement for how Christians should approach all of our relationships. I think that we've gotten the message from a lot of very well-meaning people that the Christian's job is to just sort of suck it up. When people are being offensive or hurtful or destructive in some way, it's the Christian's job to just suck it up.
Or, if I might, be so gentle, because all we hear is a spirit of gentleness, that we don't do the work to help, as the scripture is saying here, restore them.
So yeah, our job is to restore the relationship to what God intended relationships to be. That's what building the kingdom of God means. So in any difficult relationship, in any relationship with somebody who's behaving in a hurtful, offensive, sinful, frustrating way, our job is to do what we reasonably can to be our best selves, to lovingly challenge, gently, as St. Paul says, challenge the other person to be their best selves, and make sure that we are always working to make our relationships healthier and holier in whatever ways we can, not just tolerating unhealthy, abusive, sinful, offensive behavior, but really working with God's grace to make those relationships what God is calling them to be. So let's talk about how to do that today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hello, friends. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers here. And I haven't been this excited about an up-and-coming speaker for a long time, Dr. Marcus Peter. Dr. Peter has the gift of combining deep theological insight, wisdom, and knowledge with personal testimony and story in a way that makes the power of the church's teaching and God's love felt deeply in the heart of all who hear him. If you are looking for someone for your next conference, parish mission, or event, look no further than Dr. Marcus Peter.
Visit MarcusBPeter.com to book Dr. Marcus Peter to speak at your event. At the Ave Maria website, you can continue the discussion and education through the Ave Maria Radio's links to social media. Ave Maria Radio has accounts on Facebook, X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the social media symbols at the top of your screen.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Relationship SOS, as we help you find grace-filled solutions to those relationships with people you maybe care about, but they drive you crazy. 877-573-7825.
Well, let's answer a question that came in from Ryan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio. And he says, I've been married for 6 years. I love my wife and our two little kids more than anything. The problem is my dad. He's always been a critical person, but since I got married, he's gotten so much worse. He second-guesses every decision I make, from how we're raising the kids to what parish we go to and how I spend my money. If I try to talk to him about it, he either shuts down completely or tells me I'm being too sensitive and that he's, quote, just trying to help. My wife is at the point where she doesn't want him around, and honestly, I can't blame her, but he's my father. I don't want to lose that relationship, and I don't want my kids to grow up without their grandfather. At the same time, I can't keep letting him treat me like I'm still 15 and I don't know what I'm doing. I feel stuck between honoring my father and protecting my family. Is there a way to set boundaries with him without destroying the relationship?
Yeah, thank you for the question, Ryan. So a couple of things. First off, I think it's important to really look at when you say protecting your family. Everybody can have an opinion about something. We don't have to necessarily take that opinion to heart, right? And we don't have to seek the approval of the people in our lives. If you and your wife are prayerfully discerning, right? I mean, and prayerfully being the key word here. You're saying, okay, God, teach us how to have the marriage and family life you want us to have. You know, teach us how to manage our finances. Teach us where you want us to go. You know, what parish you want us to belong to. As long as the decisions you're making with your wife are rooted in prayer, you have placed God in the place in your home where God needs to be. Right? He's the head of your household, not your dad.
Right.
And so when your dad offers his opinions on things, you can say, yeah, Dad, I appreciate your opinion. My wife and I have prayed about this, and this is where we really feel like God is leading us, and so this is what we're doing.
Or even go as far as to say, Dad, I really appreciate that advice. We're going to take that to prayer. Thanks so much, and change the subject.
The problem comes in where you feel like you have to argue back and convince Dad to give you approval, and in that sense, you're kind of putting Dad on the altar where God should be.
And I have to say, you don't want him to treat you like a 15-year-old, so you need to break that pattern. Because most teenagers, when they feel criticized by their parents, they have no power at all. They have no decision-making capability in their own life for the most part, so they argue back to prove that they're right. You have all the power in the world. You are the father and the husband in your household. You have your own prayer life with your wife, hopefully, and your kids. So you can just say, Dad, thanks for that advice. That's really interesting advice. We're going to take that to prayer, and then just change the subject.
Yeah, a lot of times these cutoffs that happen between adult children and their parents, you know, come from parents being a little too intrusive with their advice and all that. That's true. But the flip side of that is that sometimes the adult kid is so consumed with trying to get the parents' approval that they feel frustrated that that's never going to happen. And so then they cut off the parent. That's kind of silly, because you don't need your parents' approval. You're the adult. Do the adult things, you know? And if it's just a matter of opinion, then that's how you handle it. Okay. Now, if your dad is undermining you to your kids, for example,
or like being really rude, calling you or your wife names
being abusive,
different.
That's a whole other thing, right? If it's just a matter of opinions, you know, everybody has a right to their opinion, you know, and you can set boundaries with that just by saying, "Thank you, Dad. I will take that to prayer." But if he's saying to your kids, you know, "Mom and Dad don't know what they're doing," or he's calling you names in front of your wife and your kids, that's abusive. That's something you need to set clearer boundaries with, right? And that's how you know, we honor people by letting them have their feelings and have their opinions and express those things, but you don't have to jump through hoops to get their approval, because he's not the God of your household. God is the God of your household. And if you and your wife are praying about your decisions, the only person you have to please is God, not your dad.
And you might want to just realize that probably, I can't guarantee this 100%, but probably, A, he's worried about you and wants to make sure you're safe and sound, so he wants to download all of his wisdom into your brain. And secondly, he's a little afraid of not being needed anymore. Because, you know, if he wasn't there, you're old enough and capable enough to run your own life, and it makes him a little lonely, and he wants to be able to have some purpose in your life. So you can ask him to do other things with you. You can spend time with him that doesn't have to do with you needing his help in any way. But realize that you are a fully functional adult human with a great family, and you can just say, "Thanks, Dad. We'll think about that. We'll pray about that."
Now, again, if it is actually more than that, and he's undermining you with your kids or being abusive in some way to you or your wife, in those cases, then you scale the relationship back to the point where you set the kind of boundaries that prevent those offensive behaviors, that still allow you to be around him, assuming that there's any place you can be safe, but prevent those behaviors. So, for example, if he tends to behave badly whenever he's at your house, but he behaves himself in public, well, then you meet him in public.
Yeah, meet him at a restaurant. Go out to a park where he's not going to be abusive in any way.
He doesn't handle in-person conversations, but he's okay on the phone or texting. You limit the relationship to the phone or texting. And when he says, "Hey, you know, how come you won't let me come to the house?" or "How come you won't," you can say, "Well, Dad, until we resolve these problems and you stop doing, you know, undermining me in front of the kids or calling my wife names, or we can't have a closer relationship." But you use the relationship that you scaled back to, I hate to put it this way, but as leverage, in a sense, to say, "This is what we need to do to have a healthier relationship moving forward." But if you just cut somebody off, then you have no potential to work on the relationship at all. So, you know, and sometimes when we even set those boundaries, the person continues to find ways to be hurtful, manipulative, offensive, whatever, and we keep scaling it back and scaling it back until they've alienated themselves from our lives. And that's on them. But if you take this approach, you are giving God every opportunity to bring healing to your relationship and move forward in a more grace-filled way. So I hope that you'll take these thoughts to heart. And if there's more we can do to support you in this, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com. The big takeaway as we go into the kind of final moments of the program here, though, is the theology of the body really serving as a corrective to the idea that it's the Catholic's job to just suck it up in the face of difficult relationships. You know, The Second Vatican Council and St. John Paul, as the first pope, really, after the Second Vatican Council, was really all about, as Paul VI put it, an aggiornamento, a spring cleaning. That, you know, when you've been around for 2,000 years, you pick up some stuff that may or may not be valuable to you anymore. And sometimes it occupies space in your house that it probably shouldn't, right? And not that it's bad, it's just that it shouldn't be the centerpiece anymore. And so a lot of what the theology of the body is about is providing that corrective, helping us kind of move some things around so that Christians can really see what our call is in relationship and what our call is in life. And so what St. John Paul is really talking about in his theology of the body is the idea of what mutual self-giving and what he calls the personalistic norm, the idea of how we all must treat each other in a genuinely loving way and expect that from each other as a way of building the kingdom of God, helps to reset the Christian's attitude toward relationship, that it's not just our job to suck it up and take bad behavior and hurtful behavior, but it's our job to charitably work with the other person, to do what St. Paul talked about in our scripture today, to restore that person in the spirit of gentleness. So if you are struggling to make that happen in your relationships, don't continue to just tolerate it. Let's work together to find faith-filled answers. Reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed day, folks.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.